Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Pastor Ferris said, I am in my second year at the seminary in Pittsburgh, and so this is truly a wonderful opportunity for me to be here with you tonight to open God's Word. So I'll invite you to turn to the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading from chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 10 through 20. So that's Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Hear now the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Thus far, God's word. Let us pray for his blessing upon it. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that you condescend to meet with us, that you have poured out your Spirit upon us, that you have called us your children. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word, that you would bless the preaching of your word, that we might come away from tonight knowing you, knowing the strength that we have in you. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, if I were to ask you, what is the most powerful military on the planet? My guess is you would probably say the United States military. And according to one website, military.com, you would be correct. In 2020, they ranked the five most powerful militaries on the planet, and the United States was first. Well, why would they have ranked the U.S. military first, aside from it being a U.S.-American publication? Is it the size of the United States military? Well, according to that same ranking, both China and India had larger militaries than the United States had. Well, if it's not the size of the military, why is the U.S. considered the most powerful military on the planet? It must be the quality. If not quantity, quality. When it comes to military power, quality is just as important as quantity, if not more. And powerful militaries must be equipped. They must be equipped and trained. And to be well equipped and trained, militaries need resources And so if financial resources are any indication of military might, the United States has a clear advantage over both India and China. In 2020, India spent $61 billion on their military. China spent $237 billion on its military. And the United States spent $750 billion on its military. And it's estimated that the United States spends approximately $100,000 each year to train and equip just one soldier. What if I told you that the United States does not have the most powerful military on the planet? What if I told you that the Church of Jesus Christ is actually the most powerful military on the planet? And like any mighty military, the Church must be equipped. It must be equipped because we are called into combat. And in our passage tonight, the Apostle Paul concluded his letter to the Ephesians by telling them just how they have been equipped for battle. In verse 10, he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Paul reminded the Ephesians that they are at war, but that they have been equipped with the whole armor of God. Christians, you are called into war, but you have been equipped with the whole armor of God. Well, Paul used the example of a Roman soldier, because at that time, Roman soldiers were known to be the best equipped soldiers. And he used that metaphor because he wanted the Ephesians to enter into their battle confidently, knowing that they would have a sure victory. But it was just a metaphor that he was using. We know that because the Roman soldiers' battle is different than the Ephesians' battle. Your battle is different than the U.S. military's battle. And Paul makes this clear in verse 12. He says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places." Verse 11 tells us that our enemy is the devil. He's not of this world. And therefore, the way that we engage with him is different than human warfare. And we'll see how this is reflected as Paul lays out for us the whole armor of God. Tonight, we'll examine the six pieces of armor with confidence, knowing that God has given them to us so that we are enabled to be strong in the Lord, that we might stand firm. Paul tells us that we have been equipped with truth, with righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and His Word. In verse 14, Paul says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Why does he say we need to fasten on the truth as if it were a belt? Well, if you're like me, you might not consider your belt to be the most impressive part of your outfit. Chances are the Roman soldiers' enemies were not intimidated by his belt so much as they were intimidated by his sword. But if you've ever left home without your belt, you know how critical it is to your outfit. Leave home without your belt and you'll probably spend a large portion of your day pulling up your pants. Your belt may not be exciting, but it's important. Imagine how important a belt would be for a soldier. A soldier who is always fussing with his uniform is, for all intents and purposes, worthless. And a Christian whose waist is not girded with the truth is the same. What is the truth to which Paul is referring? It's the truth of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. The Roman society of Ephesus was a people who denied the very existence of their Creator. The book of Acts tells us that they had constructed an elaborate temple, magnificent. And they constructed it for the goddess Artemis. Here was one of the most developed societies in the ancient world, and they worshipped a god who didn't exist. This was the dark world into which the truth of Jesus Christ shined. And if you believe in the truth of God revealed in Jesus, it's the same dark world from which you have been saved. It's a world of lies. It's a world that wants your allegiance, and it will tell you whatever it needs to get it. What lies has the world told you? Has the world told you what you need? Do you need more money? Maybe. Do you need a better job? We all think so at one point or another. Do you need perfect health? None of us have that. What about a better president? Have you listened to the world, or have you listened to the truth of God? God tells you what you really need. What you really need is someone to save you from your sin. And the truth is that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the truth to which Paul is referring. And if you understand and believe this simple truth, then you have already been given not just a belt, but the whole armor of God. Next, Paul says, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what was the purpose of a soldier's breastplate? Well, it would have protected his torso. It would have protected most of his vital organs. It would have guarded the largest target for his enemy. Anyone who's done any law enforcement or been in the military will tell you that when you shoot for the torso. But what's your most vulnerable target? What does the world love to point out about Christians? It's our sin. What media outlet doesn't love a good church scandal? This is certainly one of the reasons we are given a breastplate of righteousness. It's because the world is watching us. And how we live our lives reflects the one whom we call Lord. However, I don't think this is the primary takeaway from this verse. I think the primary meaning is much more important, much more useful for all of us here tonight. The problem with a breastplate of our own righteousness is that no matter how holy we look to the rest of the world, you know, and I know, and the devil knows the truth of our own hearts. And the truth is that no matter how hard we try to obey God's law, we still see that we are unholy, that there is an infinite divide between us and God, and we wonder, how could we be reconciled to a holy God? Perhaps you're struggling with this truth tonight. You know you've been saved by Jesus, but you struggle with the sin that's still in your heart day after day. You mortify and mortify, but it's still there. You've discovered that your breastplate of righteousness has some kinks in the armor. A lot of kinks, actually. Well, there's good news, friends. The good news is that the breastplate of righteousness that you wear is not yours, it's God's. The breastplate you wear was worn by Jesus Christ. It was worn by Him when the Father spoke to Him from heaven and said, "Today you are my Son, in whom I am well pleased." It's the breastplate Jesus wore when He resisted temptation in the wilderness. It's the breastplate He wore when He went to the cross to die for your sins. And it's the breastplate of righteousness He wore when God raised Him from the dead and placed Him at the right hand of the Father. That's the breastplate of righteousness that you are wearing, and it has no kinks. And so when the enemy is near and he attacks you with the fiery darts of your own sin, remember that you are protected by the righteousness of Christ. You are wearing His breastplate, and it is impenetrable. In verse 15, Paul gives us our third piece of armor. He says, "As shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Children, what do your parents tell you before you leave the house in the morning? They say, "Get ready, put your shoes on." Paul said that we are made ready by putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace. But what do we need to be ready for? Well, between battles, Roman soldiers were often required to march long distances for days and weeks and months. Each day when they woke up, they'd have to put on their shoes. They'd have to be ready to march. Children, you need to be ready to march as well. Your life, the life of a Christian, is described as a long walk. There will be times where you don't want to continue. There will be times when you want to give up, but you can't. And in those times, you need to know that you have peace with God. That you have peace with God, and that He loves you, and that He cares for you. Notice that our shoes are not simply shoes of peace, but they're shoes of the gospel of peace. That is, they're shoes of the good news of peace. Have you ever had to be the bearer of bad news? Perhaps you've been the one to tell another that their loved one has just died. Was it easy to tell them? Were you excited to tell them this news? No. Well, think of a time when you've been the bearer of good news. Children, have you ever told your parents of a good grade that you received in school? Were you excited to tell them? Parents, do you remember your engagement? I remember mine. Do you remember how easy it was to tell everyone the good news? Do you remember how excited you were to tell your friends and family that you were finally engaged? Well, the point is that good news travels fast. But what about the good news of Jesus Christ? Is it not the best news? The news that God sent His Son to save us from an eternity in hell so that we could spend an eternity with Him in heaven. You have peace with God, friends. Does this motivate you? Is this what gets you up in the morning? Is this what gets you through the trials of your life? When you're discouraged and you want to get up, do you remember that you have peace with God? Paul told the Ephesians, and God is telling you that the good news of peace with God makes you ready for anything that God calls you to do. Do not forget that you have peace with God if your faith is in the Lord. According to experts, the two most important pieces of armor for a Roman soldier would have been his shield and his sword. And so fittingly, Paul told the Ephesians, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. The Christian is to be characterized by faith at all times, in all circumstances. Faith is not a shield to be reserved for hard times. No, your faith needs to be a shield that you never put down. Our enemy, the devil, loves when life is going well. That's where we're most likely to put down our shield of faith. But Paul says, no, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Do you drift from the faith when life is easy? Fiery darts can come at any time. Praise God, He allows us to be afflicted. It's usually in order to bring us closer to Him. An interesting note about Roman shields. During the time of Jesus, the design of shields went from being ovular to rectangular. And experts say that they did this so that when a row of soldiers were lined up next to each other, their corners would butt ends, and so that no arrows could get through. But just like Roman soldiers, we do not fight our enemies alone. If you're a member of the church militant, you stand shoulder to shoulder with other saints who are just as equipped for battle as you are. We share one faith which protects the whole body of Christ. When my faith is lacking, I need you to remind me to be strong in the Lord. And when your faith is lacking, you need others to help you stand firm. But the shield of faith is to remind us of the protection we have as a unified body. Verse 17 speaks to the hope that we have as individual believers. Paul said, take the helmet of salvation. A soldier's helmet protects his brain. Medically speaking, the brain is the control center of the human body. And so if the brain is destroyed, the body becomes useless. Well, the Bible teaches that man has both a body and a soul. And just as a soldier's helmet protects his body, the helmet of salvation protects our soul. We need that protection. We need the hope that that protection offers us because we are at war. And just like any war, there will be injuries. For some of us, very devastating injuries. But when you find that you've been injured, know that the words of Psalm 16 are your words, because they are the Lord's words, and you are united to Him. The psalmist says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." This is the helmet of your salvation. It's the hope that you have in Jesus. In verse 17, Paul told the Ephesians to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. I mentioned earlier the two most important pieces of armor for a Roman soldier were his shield and his sword. Well, the same is true for you. You need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is your sword. Children, I have a question for you. Does this look like a sword? No, it looks like a book. Well, it is a book, but it's not just a book. It's a very special book. It's a special book because it was written by God. And God tells you through His book how much He loves you. He also tells you how much He loves you through His Son, Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is a living book because we have a living Savior. The sword of the Spirit is unlike any other piece of armor we've been given. The belt of truth describes Jesus. The breastplate of righteousness was forged by Jesus. The gospel of peace proclaims Jesus. The shield of faith protects us in Jesus. The helmet of salvation is our hope in Jesus. But the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is Jesus Himself. Friends, you are engaged in a war that has already been won by the Son of God. But without Him, you will not win. You must seek Jesus. And He says that if you seek Him, you will find Him. And you will find Him in His Word. Soldiers, you have been equipped for victory. You have been given the whole armor of God. Are you ready? Are you ready for battle? Are you ready for your marching orders? In verse 18, Paul told the Ephesians, "Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that I may be able to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel." Soldiers, our mission is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And that starts with prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray because you need prayer. We need to pray because I need prayer. We need to pray because your elders and deacons need prayer. Your pastor needs prayer. the Church of Jesus Christ is the most powerful military on the planet because it has an unlimited source of power. We do not fight with the resources of this world, but we fight with the power of God. But we must go to Him to receive it. And for those who trust in Jesus, He is more than happy to give you His power. God has equipped you with everything you need for victory. He has given us the whole armor of God, and He has given it to us through His Son, Jesus. Amen. Let us give praise to our God by singing Psalm 18a. Sing to Him that He is your strength, that He is your shield. And know that when you cry to Him in your distress, He hears you. Let's stand and sing Psalm 18a.